everyone. This is Pam at the Paper Outpost, and this is the Paper Outpost podcast, The Joy of Junk Journals. I'm so happy you decided to snuggle in and enjoy me. I'm thrilled to have you here. And what's on the table today? What is going on? What are we doing? Well, the discussion topic is going to circle around when to do what. Yes, that is something that many journal makers contemplate. When to do what? Do we decorate the pages ahead of time and then assemble them and place them in the journal? Or do we make the journal with all the pages and signatures included and then decorate? And I'm going to take you through my process. And there is no right or wrong way to do this. It's entirely up to you. And I actually suggest you try both. And there are probably subsets of this process. Like maybe you can make some pages or some signatures ahead of time. Maybe you can assemble a signature or put all the pages together, decorate them all, and then put that signature in and then go on to your next signature. So there's like many different ways you could do this. Sometimes what I will do is if I know I'm going to be doing sewing on pages, I'll do all the sewing first on individual pages, then I'll assemble my signatures and make my book, and then the other pages I will decorate in the book already assembled. So I am actually actively cleaning up my desk again for my recent fun time decorating a journal. And so I'm just going to give you my thoughts on this topic because, I often get asked this, what to do first? What should I do? How should I approach it? Is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? Is there a better way? Is there a more organized way? And my big answer is just do what makes your heart sing, and you won't know what makes your heart sing until you do it. So if you've never done it, try it all. Try doing it ahead of time. The pros and cons of doing it ahead of time. Okay, you've got all your pages, they're still loose. The first question is, have you folded them in half so that you can understand your dimensions for a page? And if you have folded them in half, then you have an idea of your boundaries and where stuff has to go. When you don't actually have it sewn into the spine yet, the boundaries aren't as clearly defined as if it's sewn into the spine, because then you know exactly how close you can put stuff to that spine before your spine won't fold properly. So if you don't have it sewn in, you might want to use maybe a half inch or a quarter inch, some kind of measurement. I know, measurement, I said the word. A distance from the spine so that you know you're not going to get bunch up close to the spine. So that would be valuable to think about if you're going to do it separately. Another little challenge I found with doing it the pages separately is that when you go to sew the pages all together and in, you've got a lot of bulk already that you're dealing with because you've got your pockets and your tucks and maybe you've even preloaded with ephemera, God bless your soul. And you're finding that stuff is falling out while you're trying to assemble your journal. So I would say, if you're gonna go to that point, you may wanna consider holding off on loading your pockets and tucks and things like that until after the actual pages are in place. And then you can go back and decide how much you want to tuck into those little cubbies for people to find and explore and have fun in your journal along the way. And it just might make it easier to assemble, because sometimes you almost need to be an octopus a little bit when it comes to making a journal. If you had like 3 or 4 or 8 extra hands, it would be very helpful. But since we don't, we use a lot of big paper clips and things like that to try and stabilize things as we are putting everything together. And I guess the pros are, yeah, it's easier to work with your page because you're not dealing with the whole journal as you're decorating. You're just dealing with that page or half page, and you can free your mind, free your thought process, and try many different things. You can arrange them, you can move them around easily on your page. You're not encumbered by the restrictions of the journal being present there. So there are definitive benefits to decorating outside of the page. Or not outside of the page, but outside of the journal. And I can see why people do like that. And like I said, if you're a sewer or a seamstress and you want to do a lot of pre-sewing, it is much easier when it's out of the journal, although it can be done when it's still in the journal. I can't tell you how many times I've just grabbed my journal, had a little spark of imagination, and it says, oh, wouldn't it look so pretty to put one of those, leaf thread designs. I can't think of the word. you know, when you have the different ways you can sew things, the zigzag, the straight stitch, this, the that. Well, yes, you can just, and you just turn your journal around, you do one page and you turn it back around the other way and you can do the other side. So it's very easy, but it is a little cumbersome because you're putting a lot of weight, pulling on a page, your journal may be weighing down on the page while you're sewing. There is a risk of tearing. It does exist, it is there, and it has happened to me. But just remember, we have ways we can repair torn pages. We have our washi tape. We can use paper to glue it down on a tear. We can use fabric and glue that down on a tear, and stuff like that. So did I say I'm just cleaning up here? I'm cleaning up again, yet again. Trying to put some stuff away and getting tied up in my little rope again. So yes, there are definite things to consider when you're constructing the journal, the befores and the afters, and when to do it. I just tried to throw my liquid pearls in the liquid pearl drawer and I missed. Okay, now I'm putting away staples and little baby scissors. Okay, there you go, in your little homes. Be so happy with all your little brethren in there. Look at you, my pens. Oh, my ink drawer. Oh, I really need to look in you more. I pulled out a new ink the other day. I was very excited. What was it? I lost it already. Some kind of pretty greeny blue teal. Here it is. Evergreen Bough. Yeah, very pretty. Kind of a greeny blue, mid-tone teal. Very nice. Forgot I had it. But all of a sudden I had a journal that said, I need a teal ink. Where are you? Can you please produce something quickly? Like right now. I need it right now. So I had to go ferreting in my drawer, and lo and behold, there it was. And even though it's 100 million years old, it still served me well. And that's the nice thing about these ink pads. You can be quite ruthless with them. Ignore them, be like a really bad boyfriend. You know, you just ignore them and don't call them and that kind of stuff. And you think the relationship goes south, but you know what? Those ink pads are right there with you when you need them again. They don't ask questions. They just say, hey, just spritz a little water on my face and I'm ready to go. And they're very forgiving, and that's very much appreciated. I do have to admit, I'm very thankful for that. And got some pens to put away here. And there's pencils and an eraser. And here's some extra papers. Okay, let's clean everything up, Pam. And and then when to do what? Another thing that comes under that topic is when to do the inside covers and the on the front and on the back. And I used to do them first because I felt like if I get that part started, then it's just easy sailing because I'm rolling with it and I'm just flying through the journal at that point. And I always feel like I want to do a good big impact in the front and the back, something really pretty, really eye-catching, because it's kind of the introduction and the conclusion to your journal. You know, you just want to have that sort of a feel. And but then I was a little intimidated and I thought, oh man, what if I, you know, kind of do something halfway and then I just really get rolling with the creative process as I'm working myself through the journal, and my good mojo doesn't start flowing until page 4. And I didn't give it my all on the inner and outer, or the inner covers. So I decided to change my game a little bit and I leave the inside and outside covers till last. And that way I know my journal better. My journal and I have been out for a few coffees, and I feel like I can honor the journal better because I know the direction that the journal took, because my journals never end up where I think they were going in the beginning. And so let's say I start with, I'm going to do a butterfly journal, but all of a sudden my butterfly journal turns into a butterfly flower vintage, old clock journal. And sometimes that just happens, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That journal just wanted to make itself and want to make itself known and have its own voice and sing its own song. And I try and roll with that and not get too preconceived about it. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing a theme journal, and that can keep you on track and keep you feeling very organized and on task and on purpose and just liking the flow of events. But if you want to experience the feeling of letting the journal evolve into its own design, that's a completely different and very fun experience. So I highly recommend you try both. But also remember that when you're constructing your journals and you're trying to figure out what to do first, what to do next, another obvious thing is the outside cover. When do I do that? Now, there's some thoughts I have on this, and you probably had similar thoughts at some point if you've made a few journals. But there's a lot of excitement when you construct your outer cover, and there it is, and you're all excited, and maybe you want to wrap it in fabric, or maybe you want to paint it, or maybe you want to use modeling paste and emboss the front of it, or you know, who knows what you want to do. You want to collage it or layer it, or you just have a lot of fun. But then you've created it, and then you got to keep it clean so that if you're choosing to work in your journal to decorate, and you're like me and you tend to ink a lot and you're picking things up with inky fingers, and let's say the outside of your journal might be white, or it might have a lot of cream tones, or you don't want to have disturbances on the outside that might muddy it. That is something to take into consideration. So sometimes it's best not to decorate the outside until the very end, but it depends on the technique you're going to use, because once you insert your signatures, that locks in the spine, and you're not able to glue across the spine, at the top of the spine, below the spine, or at the bottom of the spine, and that can limit your ability to decorate the inside. So if you want to maybe splay some material across the spine on the inside for a little extra texture or a little extra strength or security, you may want to do that first. The other thing is you can decorate the inside, not the embellishments, but you can just decorate the background papers or the background fabric of the inside of the journal, and then leave all the extra little embellishments and stuff till later on if you want to do that too. But sometimes you do have to bite the enchilada whole and say, hey, I know what I want to do with this, and because of the style that I'm doing a wraparound style. It's going to wrap from the front of the journal to the inside, and I need to do all those fold downs and everything first, and then stick my signatures in, and then decorate my journal. And that sometimes, that's actually the process that I follow 99% of the time. It's just easier for me, and I try not to make purely white journals, because I know I'm gonna get something on them, no matter how diligent I am. If you don't use inks and things like that, it might be much easier. But if you use different colors, then you're good to go. I mean, if you have deeper tones that mask the little touches of life that come along in journal making, and it actually adds to the weathered, aged, distressed look of the journal, then bonus, those are actually helping you, those little touches. And if you really get a smudge, if you really get a mistake, if you really get a bluebird that is just, you know, it's bugging your eye and you're just distraught and you don't know what to do, just cover it, you know, put something on top of it. You can paint over it, you can glue something on it, you can put fabric or paper or lace or a button or something. There's always something that you can put on it, and sometimes that'll lead you in a really unique direction when you're decorating the front of your the cover of your journal. And you might end up actually liking your results even better than what you had planned in the first place. I try not to pre-think what my cover is going to look like too much. I kind of address it at the time. When I'm ready to do the cover, I will do the cover. And it usually gets done before I decorate the insides, but not always. If I do a basic wrap, I can leave the cover outside blank and then do the final embellishment coveroo at the very, very, very end. Now that is probably what I normally do, because yeah, I wait for the journal to develop a personality, and then the cover will reflect that personality. So the basic cover is constructed with some fabric or some paint or from scratch or from a vintage book, something like that. But then the little extra accoutrement, the little embellishments and things like that will come along and happily display themselves nearing the end. And that is actually one of the last things I do, the final little embellishments. I was just thinking about something else related to what to do when. Often I will decorate my journal pages randomly as I go through. Sometimes maybe I'll even start in the third signature and I'll just decorate the third signature. Or I'll start, I'll do one page of the first, one page of the second, one page of the third, something like that. And I'll go around in that order, or no particular order, I'll just randomly pick a page, which is a lot of fun. I have noticed that I will complete my journal and then I will go back and I will look at it and I will look at it and I will look at it and I will look at it. And often my little voice inside my head says, you just need one or two little more things on that page, and that would really set it off. And if you find that you have what I call the dud page, you know what I mean, the page that, you know, it just doesn't really speak to you. It doesn't fire up any inspiration or creativity. It's not necessarily an eye rest page. It's just a, it's just not doing it for you. And you know it could do better. Sometimes when you go back and you look at the journal again, you will see things, possibilities for something to do for that page that you didn't see before the first time. Maybe you were overwhelmed, you were busy, it was close to dinner, and you know, the mojo just wasn't flowing. But this time when you're going through and you're thinking, oh, okay, what am I feeling as I'm going through my journal? Am I having little moments of joy? Am I experiencing little moments of, oh, I like that. Oh, that really looks cool. Oh, I love how that pops there. Oh, I love that. And then you come to the, oh, what on earth is that? The dud page. And if you experience dud page, I think you should embrace it wholeheartedly and ask yourself, what could I do to make this better? And that's an easy question to ask yourself when you come to the dud page. What can I do to make this better? Does it need a little something? Does it need a lot of something? Does it need the color changed? Does it need it muted down or knocked back? Maybe it's, you know, way in your face, too yellow or lime green, and you don't like that. Maybe it needs more pizzazz. Maybe it's just too flat and neutral and beige, and you want to add some zing or bling or prettiness to it. So there's a lot of things that you can think about that can lend themselves to adding or even removing little things as you go through your final journal check. So you're asking yourself, every time you go through a page or turn the page, how do I feel? How does it make me feel? Am I happy? Am I elated? Am I relaxed? Am I calm? Am I zen? Am I feeling empty? Am I feeling lost? Do I feel like something's missing? Something's not quite right? And I would suggest at this point, grab a little pile of stuff. If you have a Ziploc bag, throw some oddities in there. And just start pulling out from your bag of oddities and placing things randomly on the page, the dud page. And ask yourself, does this add? Does this make no difference? Or does this drain the page? And sometimes just asking yourself that can help guide you as to what to place, what not to place, and where to place it. Take the same piece and place it in different spots on the same page. It'll look completely differently. It completely changes the personality of a page. If you put something on the side of a page trim versus on the corner of a pocket, on the top of the page, bottom of the page, you know, is it used as a tab? Is it used as just a little embellishment? Is it a big thing? Is it a little thing? Does it have words? Does it have numbers? Are there floral elements? You know, kind of ask yourself, what is this page wanting? What is it asking for? What is it saying? Hey, is it saying, I need something? I just need a little something. You see that little something over there on the floor in the back corner? It fell off your desk about 3 weeks ago. That's exactly what I need. If you could just reach down there and pick it up and put it over here, I would be so much happier. And you can do that. And I think that's one of the reasons why the gremlins move things around so much in our craft rooms, because they want us to see things in different light, from different perspective. So when you're trying to decide what to do when, sometimes you have to wait for the gremlins to move things and you have to come back another day. If you don't get your answer and you feel like you're pushing it, don't push it. Just let it go, let it be. Go watch your favorite show, go play with the kids, go for a walk, go eat a chocolate chip cookie, which I think I'm gonna do right after this. just go have some fun. And come back and look at it with new eyes, because those new eyes are going to see things differently. They always do. I mean, just think about how many things you've thought in your life where you thought, there's no way, this is going to be the way it is for sure. It always is. It just is. And then you come back and you're looking at it and you go, oh my gosh, it doesn't look that way at all to me anymore. There's so many possibilities here. That can happen in your junk journal world too. And it does. And it probably will happen easier in the junk journal world than in the regular world. I don't know why, but I think it does. And I think that's the good side of the gremlins. They mess with our stuff so that we see things differently. And So there, little gremlins, I have cleaned off my ever beloved craft mat. The rest of my desk is still messy, but I have a 2 by 1.5 foot space that I can create on, which is a lot in my world. Doesn't matter how big my desk is, my desk shrinks down to a 6 inch by 6 inch space as soon as I start crafting. I don't know what it is, I just have to have all these little pieces close to me. So when you're deciding when to do what, just keep your mind open. Try every different version of something. If it's your first journal and you're just making something for the first time, I suggest constructing your entire journal first and then decorating it. I think you'll have an easier time just because of the assembly process. The signatures won't be falling all over the place on you as you're trying to get it together. The first main thing you need to think about with making a journal is get the journal together. And once you get the journal together, then decorating, that's like putting icing on the cake. And that's just fun and creative and playful. But then you'll find over time that actually making the journal is a lot easier than decorating and that, because it's, number one, it's faster. Once you get your system down and you get a system that you like and that you find that's easy, and you do it a few times, then you'll be like, oh, okay, I know how to do this. I just punch that there. I pull the string through here. I do this, I do that. And next thing you know, you're done. And, but the facing of the pages and the decorating of the pages and the embellishing of the pages, how much you want to do, deciding, you know, how much writing space you're going to have, deciding if you're going to add extra papers, if you want to give them extra writing space because you stole some writing space because you decorated a lot, which I do a lot. And so there's a lot of different thoughts and feelings around that, and how heavily decorated will your journal be. So the what to do when will, that question comes up nonstop in a junk journal maker's life. And I want you to enjoy the entire process, and don't think that you have to figure it all out in one day. You don't. This is something you can just play with as you go. Take one small little part of the journal and play with that, and just make that your goal. And if you decide to go on to extra parts, then fine, you know, but don't make it an overwhelming process. Don't feel like there's a race. You don't have to get the journal done, by a certain time. Let's say, you know, you're trying to make it for, you know, Aunt Barb's birthday, and it's coming up next Saturday, and you're not even halfway done and you're freaking out. You know what? Get Aunt Barb a gift certificate. She'll be fine. Go buy her a sweater. You know what? Take the pressure off of yourself and just enjoy the process, because the making of the journal, there's enormous joy that can be experienced in that. And I don't want you to rush through that process. I don't want you to become a machine where you're pumping out journals faster than you're enjoying making journals. That's, I think, really important to remember. It's very easy to turn into a factory. And if you lose the joy because you become a factory, then it's a job. It's not fun anymore. So if you want to keep this as a passion and as a fun thing for you to do and to look forward to, and a place for your brain to unwind and relax, then enjoy your process, however that plays out. And you'll know, because your inner guidance will tell you if you are on target or if you're not. If you're feeling good, feeling challenged is not the same thing as not feeling good. If you're feeling challenged and you're a little scared, like, hey, I want to go in this direction, but I'm not sure, I've never done it, the journal's already assembled, if I don't like it, it's so committal, and I'm locked myself into a page, just remember, no, you're not. Pages can be removed, pages can be covered, things can be painted over, new paper can be glued down across an old paper, so you're never stuck. And like I said, the page can be removed. If you completely can't stand it, you can just tear that page out. So remember that, and remember to enjoy the process. I want you to have fun here, and there's so much fun to be had, and you all deserve it. So I thank you so much again for spending these moments with me as we talk junk journal shop, and remember to create with reckless abandon, and we will talk soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.